sung by Michael Palin with a chorus of hundreds of children in the Monty Python film The Meaning of Life. If you haven't seen it, please do. The great Beethoven fallacy is a typical example of the kind of logical mess we get into when our minds are befuddled by religiously inspired absolutism. Notice now that pro-life doesn't exactly mean pro-life at all. It means pro-human life. The granting of uniquely special rights to cells of the species Homo sapiens is hard to reconcile with the fact of evolution. Admittedly, this will not worry those many anti-abortionists who don't understand that evolution is a fact. But let's briefly spell out the argument for the benefit of anti-abortion activists who may be less ignorant of science. The evolutionary point is very simple. The humanness of an embryo's cells cannot confer upon it any absolutely discontinuous moral status. It cannot, because of our evolutionary continuity with chimpanzees and, more distantly, with every species on the planet. To see this, imagine that an intermediate species, say Australopithecus afarensis, had chanced to survive and was discovered in a remote part of Africa. Would these creatures count as human or not? To a consequentialist, the question doesn't deserve an answer, for nothing turns on it. It is enough that we would be fascinated and honoured to meet a new Lucy. The absolutist, on the other hand, must answer the question in order to apply the moral principle of granting humans unique and special status because they are human. If it came to the crunch, they would presumably need to set up courts like those of apartheid South Africa to decide whether a particular individual should pass for human. Even if a clear answer might be attempted for Australopithecus, the gradual continuity that is an inescapable feature of biological evolution tells us that there must be some intermediate who would lie sufficiently close to the borderline to blur the moral principle and destroy its absoluteness. A better way to say this is that there are no natural borderlines in evolution. The illusion of a borderline is created by the fact that the evolutionary intermediates happen to be extinct. Of course, it could be argued that humans are more capable of, for example, suffering than other species. This could well be true, and we might legitimately give humans special status by virtue of it. But evolutionary continuity shows that there is no absolute distinction. Absolutist moral discrimination is devastatingly undermined by the fact of evolution. An uneasy awareness of this fact might indeed underlie one of the main motives creationists have for opposing evolution. They fear what they believe to be its moral consequences. They're wrong to do so, but in any case, it is surely very odd to think that a truth about the real world can be reversed by considerations of what would be morally desirable.
How moderation in faith fosters fanaticism. In illustration of the dark side of absolutism, I mentioned the Christians in America who blow up abortion clinics and the Taliban of Afghanistan, whose list of cruelties, especially to women, I find too painful to recount. I could have expanded upon Iran under the Ayatollahs or Saudi Arabia under the Saud princes, where women cannot drive and are in trouble if they even leave their homes without a male relative, who may, as a generous concession, be a small male child. See Jan Goodwin's Price of Honour for a devastating expose of the treatment of women in Saudi Arabia and other present-day theocracies. Johann Hari, one of the London Independent's liveliest columnists, wrote an article whose title speaks for itself. The best way to undermine the jihadists is to trigger a rebellion of Muslim women. Or, switching to Christianity, I could have cited those American rapture Christians whose powerful influence on American Middle Eastern policy is governed by their biblical belief that Israel has a God-given right to all the lands of Palestine. Some rapture Christians go further and actually yearn for nuclear war because they interpret it as the Armageddon, which, according to their bizarre but disturbingly popular interpretation of the Book of Revelation, will hasten the Second Coming. I cannot improve on Sam Harris's chilling comment in his Letter to a Christian Nation.
It is therefore not an exaggeration to say that if the city of New York were suddenly replaced by a ball of fire, some significant percentage of the American population would see a silver lining in the subsequent mushroom cloud.